Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship and to our Sunday morning services. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my delight to serve this compassionate, caring, and learning congregation. Welcome here if you are watching this Sunday morning at 10:30 with me, or you're watching a recorded service later. Welcome if you are engaged with the Wolf community so you can see your friends, or whether you're trying to grow into a more loving person, or if you come to learn, or if you come to serve. Welcome if you come for all of these reasons or none of these reasons. Welcome no matter who you love, where you come from, whether you are happy today, sad today, or grieving. Everyone is welcome in this beloved community. And now we will hear from our auction. Hello. Welcome back. So I want to invite you all to coffee hour. There's coffee hour online, and that came, the link is in the email that came to you this morning. If you are new and you did not get that link, then you can contact our administrator, Pat Lycan. Her name is at the end of the service and email, and get on that list so that you can come to our coffee hour. That is the very best way to meet people. We do joys and sorrows. We talk about themes in the service, and it's a lot of fun. People also come to Wolf and have coffee right after the service. They drive over, and so there's an in-person gathering as well if you would like to do that. I'm going to light the chalice, and may the light of this chalice remind us that even through this time of necessary isolation, that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to our communities, and to each other. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
I'm Rosie Hamilton, and I have a reading by Gordon McKinnon. Ministry is a quality of relationship between and among human beings that beckons forth hidden possibilities, inviting people into deeper, more constant, more relevant relationships with the world and with one another, carrying forward a long heritage of hope and liberation that has dignified and informed the human venture over many centuries. Being present with two and four others in their terrors and torments, in their grief, misery, and pain, knowing that those feelings are our feelings too. Celebrating the triumphs of the human spirit, the miracles of birth and death, birth and life, the wonders of devotion and sacrifice, witnessing to life-enhancing values, speaking truth to power, speaking for human dignity and equity, for compassion and aspiration, believing in life in the presence of death, struggling for human responsibility against principalities and structures that ignore humanness and become instruments of death. It is all these and much, much more than all of them present in the wordless, the unspoken, the ineffable. It is speaking and living the highest we know and living with the knowledge that it is never as deep or as wide or as high as we wish. Whenever there is a meeting that summons us to our better selves, wherever our lostness is found, our fragments are united, our wounds are healing, our spirits stiffen, and our muscles grow strong from the task, there is ministry.
Let me tell you the parable of the spoons. There once was a mystic who was fascinated by the idea of heaven and hell. One day, in a deep meditation, the mystic came face to face with the creator of the universe. And of course, their first question was, what is the nature of the relationship between heaven, hell, and earth? And the creator of the universe clapped its cosmic hands, and immediately the two were in a room. In the center of this room, there was a round table, and in the center of that table, there was a roaring fire. Over the fire, there was a huge cauldron of a seething stew with a smell so enchanting that the mystic was drawn closer to the table, but not too close, because all around the table there were sickly, unhealthy, groaning people, each of them with a long spoon, long enough to reach the cauldron in the center of the table, but not long enough to feed themselves. And they all struggled and they tried, but they never quite managed. The mystic didn't need to ponder long to understand that this was hell. Instantly, the creator of the universe clapped those cosmic hands again, and they were in a different room. Except it was the same room. So much of the room was identical. There was the round table, the roaring fire, the cauldron with that delicious smelling stew in the center, and around it, people seated. But these people looked healthy. They looked happy. In fact, they were laughing and telling each other stories and jokes. Some of them were singing songs. Some of them were just listening attentively. And they also had those same long, overlong spoons. But as they dipped out of the stew, they didn't trouble themselves trying to make that long spoon reach back to their mouths. They simply reached across the table and fed someone else. And when they were hungry, they had the humility and the clarity of mind to open their mouths and let themselves be fed. The mystic didn't have to ponder long to recognize that this was heaven. And the beauty of this story is that it isn't just about heaven and hell as an afterlife idea, but it shows us how we can choose to experience heaven or hell here on earth. And as a matter of fact, this story inspired this song.
No one gets to heaven alone, to heaven alone, to heaven alone. No one gets to heaven alone. We get there side by side, side by side, side by side, side by side. We get there side by side. No one heals the world on their own, the world on their own, the world on their own. No one heals the world on their own. We're healing side by side, side by side, side by side, side by side. We're healing side by side. No one does the work on their own, the work on their own, the work on their own. No one does the work on their own. We're working side by side, side by side, side by side, side by side. We're working side by side, side by side. Side by side, side by side. We're healing side by side, side by side, side by side, side by side. We get there side by side.
This is a time of prayer, meditation, or reflection, as is your tradition. If you wish, you can hold your hands over your heart during this time. This simple gesture tells your heart, your body, to open your heart. Dear Spirit of Love and Life, let us set aside our fear and our anger and our frustration and exhaustion and just let ourselves mourn the loss of over 700,000 Americans and well over 5 million people worldwide who have lost their lives to COVID-19 in the last 18 months. These were people with lives and hopes and dreams and families who loved them. These were people, mostly Black and Brown people, here in the United States and across the world, who wanted the same things we all want: love, happiness, meaning. Let us hold them and the people who loved them in our love and our compassion. Even as we know the suffering of life, let us be grateful. Let us be grateful for all the people who have worked so hard in this pandemic to save lives. Doctors and nurses, public health officials, medical researchers, and those who have stayed home and worn masks and distanced. Let us also be grateful for the changings of the season and the lovely warm coolness that is the sign of the fall and the bountifulness of the earth blooming and overflowing with harvest, tomatoes and peppers and eggplants, squashes and carrots and onions and potatoes and sweet corn. Ah, let us be grateful for an earth that provides food, farmers who grow it, farm workers who harvest it and process it, and all the ancestors who diligently work to make those wild plants transform and become the food we feast on today. Now let us pause and take a moment to say aloud those we are holding in our hearts today. And if you wish and your technology allows it, please please write those names in the chat so everyone can hold your beloved people in their hearts as well. Now, relax and let the silence hold you for a moment.
The river is flowing.
This is a reading by Galway Kinnell, St. Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within, of self-blessing, though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch that it is lovely. Until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch, blessings of earth on the sow. And the sow began remembering all down her thick length from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and slops of the spiritual curl to the spiritual curl of the tail. From the hard spinets spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the blue milk and dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of the sow.
For you, babe, I couldn't even find the door. I couldn't even see the floor. I'd be sad and blue if not for you. If not for you, tonight would see me wide awake. But it would surely have to break. It would not be new if not for you. If not for you, my sky would fall. Rain would gather too. Without your love, I'd be nowhere at all. I'd be lost. Not for you, the winter would have no spring. I couldn't hear the robin sing, so I wouldn't have a clue. If not for you, if not for you, my sky would fall. The rain would gather too. Without your love, I'd not be nowhere at all. I'd be lost if not for you. If not for you, the winter would have no spring. I couldn't even hear the robin sing. No, I wouldn't have a clue. If not for you.
Our theme this month is cultivating relationships. If not for you, I would not have a clue. So many UUs, this is the most important part of our faith, building relationships with one another. We come and commit to the life of a congregation because we want community and we want friends. I have heard this more times than I can count. I came to this UU congregation and I found like-minded people. And this is so often expressed with such relief and such joy. And this was mostly intensely felt when I served congregations in conservative areas, which was pretty much everyone before here. Finding like-minded people has been a salvation for so many who have found UU congregations. And creating and maintaining relationships with these people has been central to congregational life. Even here, where the outside community shares more similar values to UUs, most come into our congregation to make friends and to find a community that will be with us and around us as we move through life. This is a fundamental human need. We need people in our lives, not just close friends, but a larger community who sees us and values us and laughs and cries with us. It is such a lovely thing to find a community of people where we do not need to defend our fundamental values and can bring most of ourselves. Certainly, this was a very big reason that I walked through the doors of a Unitarian Universalist church for the first time. We all need communities to walk through life with. The social fabric of the United States has been steadily disintegrating for decades. And now communities of faith are one of the only places besides family that we can find multi-generational community to accompany us through all the seasons of our lives. Neighborhoods used to provide community, but that is fairly rare these days. Workplaces used to provide it, but that happens much less than it did once and will be even less common in the post-COVID world. Loneliness is one of the great public health crises in the Western world. And I imagine that COVID has only intensified that for so many people. Our world needs faith communities like Unitarian Universalist congregations so we can be with other people. I am curious, however, if while holding the story of being community in one hand, we can hold this in the other hand, the story that we come into faith communities to grow in love and in hope. We come to learn how to rise naturally to the good. We come to become the people who instinctively pick up those large spoons and feed each other and allow others to feed us instead of struggling to only feed ourselves. Most of us, and we're clearly not a uniform group in this, but most of us, we're raised to feed ourselves and our closest family. We are Americans, after all, raised in an individualistic consumer culture where we learn that to be successful is to be able to fulfill all of our needs with our labor or purchased items or purchased services. We are individuals, and our purpose is to succeed as individuals, we were taught. Even our most intimate partnerships and friendships are often considered dissolvable when they no longer serve us. To need help, so many of us learned, is a weakness. Our attention becomes focused on what we need and want. Are my needs being met? Do I feel good? Am I supported? What do I want? So, of course, we pick up those long spoons and try to figure out a way to get them into our mouths. That is what most of us were trained to do. But what if the story of why we engage with WOOF is to build relationships, of course, but not just those relationships that make us comfortable and make life easy, but relationships that are meant to challenge and change us so we grow in love and hope. Remember the religious historian Karen Armstrong's quote? Religion is not about accepting 20 impossible propositions before breakfast, but about doing things that change you. It is a moral aesthetic, an ethical alchemy. If you behave in a certain way, you will be transformed. All faiths offer things that you do that will change you. In Buddhism, meditation and study within a sangha are two such practices. In Islam, the practices are laid out clearly in the five pillars of Islam. These are sincerely reciting the Muslim profession of faith, performing ritual prayers in the proper way 5 times a day, paying an alms or charity tax to benefit the poor and the needy, fasting during the month of Ramadan, and a pilgrimage to Mecca. Most faiths have rituals, prayers, and traditions that the faithful follow with a goal of transformation to a life that is larger than a focus on the small I of ourselves. Unitarian Universalism, with its emphasis on religious freedom and no creeds, has been shy about claiming practices that will change us. UUs who want richer practices use those of other traditions. We become UU Buddhists or UU Christians or UU pagans. However, we do have some practices that really matter in this regard. We gather for worship Sunday services to renew ourselves, to be inspired, and remind ourselves of our aspirations. We also practice covenant. We do not have creeds in Unitarian Universalism because we believe that revelation is not sealed, in traditional theological language, and that we each have access, this is our first source, to the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and openness to the forces that create and uphold life. We are each going to naturally do this in different ways, have different experiences, and draw different conclusions from those experiences. Unitarians, Universalists do not believe in one path. UUs believe that the work of congregational life is not to get everybody to walk on one path, but to make promises to each other about how we'll be together as we explore the sources of our faith and live into our values. We do this through our covenants. The short version of the Wolf Covenant reads, "We covenant to take responsibility for our feelings, behavior, and communication, and to maintain civility and compassion in the face of differences, assume good intentions, but recognize, even with good intentions, sometimes our words and behavior have a different impact, acknowledge that we all make mistakes, and be generous with apology, forgiveness, and gratitude." It goes on. "We covenant to strengthen our community by being generous with our time, talent, energy, and resources, as well as being informed and engaged in Wolf's governance. We covenant to encourage each other's personal growth and to honor Wolf's practices of democracy, shared ministry, and collaborative leadership." These promises that we make through covenant are foundational. Through practicing these ways of being, we change the ways we interact with each other, change ourselves, and become more loving and compassionate people. These are practices of relationship. We have so much to teach and learn from one another, and we also have much to learn about how we negotiate the space between us. As UUs, we hold central the interconnected web of existence. Through the practice of relationship, we build and heal that web. Each interaction, each story listened to, each conflict resolved, each act of compassion and care, each question asked and pondered, each project created together, these fly across the space, creating a web that gets stronger and stronger, building the capacity for each of us to have the strength of each other as we transform ourselves into people who love the world and rise naturally to the good. This is ministry, as described in the reading by UU Minister Gordon McKinnon we heard this morning. We are able to create a quality of relationship that beckons forth hidden possibilities and summons us to our better selves. Through practices of relationship, we learn that we can ask for help and nothing bad happens. And indeed, we are simply graced by the presence of others. We learn we can give help, and it is rarely a burden, but a pleasure that reminds us we are valuable and important and do things that matter. When others listen to us, we discover that what we think and feel matters. And when we listen to them, we discover what others think and feel matters. When others consistently value our presence, we learn we are lovable, and we discover how satisfying it is to value other people's presence so they can know, too, that they are lovable. We can learn that conflict is often about difference, not who is good or bad or who wins or loses, just that we value different things. We see things differently. Good conflict can help us understand what is different about us and another and come through it respecting ourselves and the other person. This can lead to discovering more possibilities as we co-create this beloved community and work for justice in the wider world. Cultivating relationships at their best is the practice of learning to experience people for who they really are and respecting and honoring and allow them to see the beauty in themselves as St. Francis helped the sow rediscover her own beauty. In many faiths, people speak of the spark of the divine in every person, where they say that God is within each of us. They are asked to seek the divine and the deep presence of God in each person. And many UUs do this. If the idea of divinity or God falls flat for you, consider instead the way life animates each of us in unique and marvelous ways, and how fun it is to learn about this in the other person. This is actually one of my very favorite things, to learn how people process and understand the world and react to it, and how that can be so different than my own ways. I like to know what makes people's hearts sing and will bring them out of their houses and into community. Sometimes I learn also what they fear and what makes them angry in a second, or what they need to control to feel safe, or what they will defend to the death. I love personality tests like the Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram because they can help us talk about how we each respond to the happenings of life. Knowing these things helps us laugh and grow and helps others laugh and grow as we lean into our strengths and mitigate those tendencies that aren't as helpful to a loving and joyful life. What I have learned is that even in this small community of what many of us would call like-minded people is that we are not all the same. We process information differently. We perceive differently. We have different risk tolerances, something I have become very aware of in the last year and a half. We want different things from this congregation. Some of us have different cultural backgrounds because of our race or our class. Some of us have radically different life experiences. Our various identities shape how our society treats us, especially if those identities have been oppressed by dominant culture. We have real theological differences, ranging from atheists to those who kneel before God, from Buddhists to Christians, and from humanists to pagan. We might appreciate the ease of being with like-minded people, but it is in the utter marvelousness of difference within the protective practice of covenant that can open up creativity as we co-create community and teaches us the practices of love. Our covenant guides us when differences arise that feel challenging, and sometimes they really do feel challenging. In those moments, we take responsibility for our own feelings and behaviors, maintain compassion in difference, acknowledging the impact of what we say and do to others, even when our intention was so good. We offer apologies and forgiveness when mistakes happen, which is going to happen all the time because we're human. Our covenant also asks us to be grateful to others for what they bring and who they are. All of this is ministry, a quality of relationship between and among us that beckons forth hidden possibilities and summons us to be our best selves. That is what we're called to do in our congregation, ministry, to nurture this quality of relationship that has the power to help us transform into more compassionate, loving, and hopeful people. So when we meet the sow, we are called to teach her her loveliness. So when we see those long spoons, we know immediately they were created to feed other people and for other people to feed us. For Unitarian Universalists, attending or watching services is important for renewal, connecting with the values of our faith, resetting our intentions, forgiving and loving ourselves and others, and remembering always to be grateful. However, our practice of relationships is just as central to our faith. To learn about others, to listen with our hearts, to be in conflict, to respect, to offer care, to make mistakes, and to apologize and forgive. I ask you this morning to consider committing to building relationships in this community, perhaps with those you've never met. This is possible even during COVID. The very best way to build relationships is to join a small group. Chalice circles are beginning again, and we're going to start a new group called conversational groups for people who don't want the structure of chalice circles. But there are also other groups. There's the women's group. There's the Buddhist and humanist groups. The writers groups are some examples. Or you can join one of the teams that makes WOOF happen. There's nothing to build like building relationships when you're working on something together with a goal. So you can join finance or the adult religious education team or membership or personnel. More information on these possibilities is in the e-blast, and more will be coming out soon. Meanwhile, I ask in this community of faith, may we give to each other, may we receive from each other, and may our hearts always be in a holy place.
Is in a holy place. We are blessed with love and amazing grace when our heart is in a holy place. When we trust the wisdom in each of us, every color, every creed and kind, and we see our faces in each other's eyes. Our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place. are blessed with love and amazing grace when our heart is in a holy place. When we tell our story from deep inside and we listen with a loving mind and we hear our voices in each other's words. Blessed with love and amazing grace when our heart is in a holy place. When we share the silence of sacred space and the God of our heart stirs within and we feel the power of each other's faith. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace when our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place.
Our benediction is by the Reverend Hope Johnson, a beloved UU minister whose generosity and kindness and leadership touched many within Unitarian and Universalism, and who died too young last year from an illness brought on by being a first responder during 9/11. We are one, a diverse group of proudly kindred spirits, here not by coincidence, but because we choose to journey together. We are active and proactive. We care deeply. We live our love as best we can. We are one, working, eating, laughing, playing, singing, storytelling, sharing, and rejoicing, getting to know each other, taking risks, opening up, questioning, seeking, searching, trying to understand, struggling, making mistakes, paying attention, asking questions, listening, living our answers, learning to love our neighbors, learning to love ourselves, apologizing and forgiving with humility, and being forgiven through grace, creating the beloved community together. We are one. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision or compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.